Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Melissa Enoch DeBerry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all individuals. I am Melissa Enoch DeBerry. I'm a licensed clinical addiction specialist. I am a licensed professional counselor associate, and I am a child of God, always been. I'm excited because this morning I'm on the show, and I'm going to be talking about something I think is very important, although a lot of people, when you talk with them about it, they have a difficult time in answering the question as to whether or not they have a problem with alcohol or other drugs. So if people are, ashamed or guilty or really don't think that there's an issue, in denial, I don't really know what it is, but every April is Alcohol Awareness Month. And during Alcohol Awareness Month, you have different agencies and places and organizations that have different programs and different activities. And they had like a national day for just no drinking for the weekend. And then there was an alcohol screening day. And we started off the month with Justin from Anuvia. And you can archive some of the interviews that was done about the effectiveness of having 3,756 different flags that denoted the number of DWIs in Mecklenburg County, not North Carolina. And then the second week, we talked to Latasha from the Drug Free Coalition, Charlotte Mecklenburg Free Coalition, and she shared with us about some events that they were hosting, including what they were doing that week and throughout the month. The Alcolock, I think that's what they were passing out over at Anuvia. And then the Drug Free Coalition was going to host an event, and they're going to also host an event for 420, which I think is most interesting. They were doing some other stuff, but the 420 is taking back 420, which is an unofficial holiday for individuals who like to smoke marijuana. Again, I went right into the program, but I just want to thank God for allowing us the opportunity to come together to share with one another, to gain wisdom from different things that we hear and gain the knowledge that we need in order to help and to get sort of be instructed about what we need to do in order to be better, for us to be better, for our families to be better, for our kids to be better. I'm excited for a lot of reasons because March is the month of planting. And that's just where I came up with putting seeds out there, talking to different individuals, letting them know what's in the community. Always been a missionary, always been community outreach, always worked on wanting to help individuals realize what's going on in the world. And then from April until September, I began to work on our National Recovery Month celebration, which is every September 3rd Saturday. And during this event, we bring different community organizations together in order to, again, go out into the community, do a community outreach day, and to let people know about what National Recovery Month is. I always encourage individuals to be in recovery because that's a good start. I mean, I'm hesitant. So, dear God, Heavenly Father, as we come together, just continue to bless us, continue to touch us, continue to watch over us, continue to just come inside of our hearts and our minds and just allow us to just be educated and realize that everyone has a value and just to be enlightened by the different things that are going on. And in Jesus' name, we pray as we travel, just keep us safe on the highways and the byways. Again, good morning. My name is Melissa Enoch DeBerry. I'm starting off the morning. This is Talk with Trinity. I'm by myself this morning. For the last few Thursdays, I've had guests. And next Thursday, I will also have a guest, a returning person from Life Skills Counseling, Latonya Summers. She will be joining us to finish out our month. Well, not even to finish out our month. I think we probably have about one more week for Alcohol Awareness Month. Again, April is Alcohol Awareness Month. April is also some other month. I forget. I don't know if it's Foster Care Month. But every month is denoted by some cause. You can look that up and say, what is this month good for, known for? There are also days within the month. And when you're in business, you kind of want to attach yourself to the days, because when people are Googling things that are going on, then your information will come up pretty high on the list because you've attached yourself to the different causes. This Trinity Counseling Services is a private substance abuse facility. I tend to attach myself to what it is that I do, and that is drugs and alcohol, and always stay within the mission of education, enrichment, and enlightenment, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because God is the creator. So we were created, and Jesus died to save us. And that is the value that was love, and that is a value, love and respect and duty and responsibility was what he died for in order to save us from ourselves. And then he said, well, I will not leave you nor forsake you. I will leave the Holy Spirit with you. And that is the enlightenment, because once you realize that you are not by yourself, no matter if you are by yourself, if you're lonely, you're still not by yourself, that there is something that you can turn to. I'm just thinking out loud because when we're talking about alcohol screening day, that was on the 9th, I believe, and today we're a little bit later for it. But this week, we want to ask ourselves the question, do I have a problem? And you can say with alcohol, you can say with drugs. And if you make an honest admission, then it says, do I have a problem? How do I know that I have a problem? And I was very curious reading this article in Men's Health. It was an individual, and he was writing, telling his story, basically. I encourage individuals to do that without any type of shame or guilt. Just tell who they are, what they are, and their makeup. And it is a release almost for doing this. But the man that was writing, the author of this article, basically said that he had been drinking pretty much on a regular basis, never really thinking about it. And his son ended up in the hospital. And one of the ways, his son, I believe, was 3 months, his daughter was 3 months old, and he had to have a biopsy because whatever was going on. So he left the hospital, went to the liquor store, bought the airline bottles, and then found himself sitting on the floor in the bathroom of the hospital drinking it. And I was sharing this information with some of my clients. And so some of the questions that I asked was, I wonder how he felt sitting in, what would have happened if someone had came upon him in the bathroom drinking? What would they have thought? Would they have put him out? Would he have been able to be there for his son? And was he in the mind state that he needed to be in order to deal with what the situation was at hand? As I'm thinking about it now, what about his wife? And what was her reaction to he comes in there, and maybe his speech wasn't slurred, but really, you go to the liquor store while our child is here, you know, you should have been here with me, you know, holding his hand or praying for him or listening to what the doctor has to say or anything like that. And so he realized at that point that was the definition of compulsion for him, which is one of the indicators of addiction and alcoholism, but it seems to be further down. But the craving or the trigger was accomplished by he was in a stressful situation, and that was the answer. So then he began to look at his life on life's terms and see exactly where he was as far as his drinking goes. A lot of times I find individuals that are in, and even with myself, do I really have an issue? And if you are comfortable in your situation, quite naturally your answer is going to be, I don't have a problem. Nope, I'm good. There's really nothing that can really touch me. I take a sidebar to what I'm saying, because I read a lot, take in a lot of information from the internet, and just from my studies, and I think about real life applications. And one of the things I've been following is a young man, Couch, I think is his last name, who was suffering from affluenza. And I rolled my eyes. That would be the emoji that I would attach if I was writing about this and talking to some young people just in general. He suffered from affluenza, so I looked that up and I read about it with him, but I looked it up. Basically, what it says is it is a disease of consumption. Had no idea that there were diseases of consumption, and no idea that there were diseases of poverty either. So my eyes was open into that, and I'm going to probably delve a little further into that. But as I thought about it, it said he had a disease of consumption, that he was had a sense of entitlement, and affluenza was the name of the disorder that he had, and he shouldn't be held accountable for what he done. Is he killed poor people, and I didn't really realize the story. It didn't make any sense, but later, as I was reading about it, said what had happened is he and his friends was playing beer pong, and they went to go back and get some beer, I believe. And on their way back, it was some people on the side of the road with a broke down vehicle, and he hit and killed the ones that were assisting the individuals, the neighbors, and it came out of their house to assist the person whose vehicle was broken down. And anyway, four people ended up dead, and so then his parents. I don't really understand, but anyway, he had a defense team. The defense team hired a psychologist. The psychologist gave the explanation, because, you know, anytime there's a court proceeding, when you have an individual with a higher level, like psychology or psychiatry, when they testify on the behalf of either the defense team or the prosecuting team, and they give an answer to the reason why the thing happened, and they said the young man, he didn't know any better. And then he delved back into the young man's history, and by the time he was 11 years old, I think, or 13 years old, he was not legal to drive, but his parents had provided him with a vehicle so that he could drive back and forth to school. And when the school confronted the family and said, you can't let him do that, they basically said, do you know who we are? Do you know how much money we have? And just basically just shut up and don't talk to us about what we allow our children to do, irregardless of what the legal system says, that you can't drive until you're at the age of 16, and then you drive provisionally or whatever. On top of him driving, he was driving and he was underage, and they basically said, "Who do you know we are? You know, we can take." I don't know if he was going to a private school or not, but he. So later on, so when you fast forward 4 or 5 years from that point, now he's killed somebody. And again, his family said, not our child. And as they were listening to that, they gave him 10 years of probation, and he had to do no incarceration. And he basically did a plea agreement to where he would go to rehab. And then they said when he got to rehab, that he was gone for almost 6 months, something like that. That when he got to the rehab facility, what he ended up doing is his parents only paid probably about 10% of what was like $180,000. If he stayed per day up for 6 months, that they only paid a portion of that and whoever paid the rest. And so, and then he violated his probation because he continued to drink and hang out. And, you know, we have technology and we have social media, and lo and behold, here he is at a party and gets YouTubed, and the probation officer catches wind of it, or it was reported by a young lady that was at the party with him, and basically said, well, look at this guy here, he's supposed to be remorseful and on probation, and he basically doesn't care about what he's doing. And I just realized that I was doing the program through my car. I hope you all could hear me. But anywho, so the young man should have been remorseful for what he had done. And basically, he was not remorseful for what he had done, it seemed. Do you have a problem? As you think about that, if you've got different things around you that give you indication that it might not be as big of an issue, then you probably are going to say, no, I really don't have this issue. And this young man didn't have any reason or justification. He had justification to say that it wasn't a problem because he had basically been bought out of it. But it's real simple. Back to the Men's Health article, it had 11 questions. And I realized I didn't give it away to the clients, but the 11 questions come straight from the 11 criteria for substance use disorder in the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, number 5, that I mentioned before on this program. And it says one of the questions relates to withdrawal symptoms and having them. So when you go without whatever it is that you're doing, do you suffer from withdrawal symptoms? I have 3 questions on a pre and post test that I give to my clients, and I ask them, name 3 of the withdrawal symptoms for alcohol, 3 of the withdrawal symptoms from marijuana, 3 of the withdrawal symptoms from cocaine. And when I get to the marijuana portion, there's no withdrawal symptoms from that, or whatever. What is that they're doing? And I was like, well, just think about it simply. What does marijuana do when you smoke it? For some, it makes them relax. So when they don't have it, it makes them unrelaxed. So if they are smoking it and it gives them focus, when they don't have it, then they're not focused or defocused. Same thing with attention. They will give attention to whatever, then it doesn't allow them to have attention. That is a withdrawal symptom. So whatever the effect of the drug is, or the alcohol is, or the situation is, it'll do the exact opposite when it is not there. And that is one of the questions that is asked to say whether or not you have withdrawal symptoms. The other one is tolerance, which is easy enough because you develop tolerance. You start to do something, and either you have a good experience or a bad experience. And if you have a bad experience, you probably won't do it again. If you have a good experience, then you're going to want more of it. If you eat a piece of cake that's really tasty, then you're going to begin to seek that same kind of cake experience, or you're going to add to the cake experience. I always digress, but on the internet, there's a guy that ordered a coffee from Starbucks. It was sweet enough, and then he added more sweet to it, and then it was just a big thing where he was writing about diabetes, here I come. Well, no, that barista should not have put that on that cup, but if he's like, I already like it sweet, and I wanted it sweeter, you would think, well, if it's already sweet, why would you want to add sweet on top of it? And the guy basically said, he was like, I like it like that. And he said, I don't do that often. And then he took offense, and then he began to hold up the candle to the cause, which is of diabetes, and how you don't make light of anything like that. But it's not really making light of it, because why are you drinking something as sweet as that? I just think everything that I read is alcohol and drug related. My question then would be, is he coming off of any kind of drugs and alcohol? Because what that does is the withdrawal symptom from drugs and alcohol physically is you began to crave sweets, because the process of the alcohol is it turns into sugar in the body, and then your body desires the sugar. So then when you don't have the alcohol, you still desire that sugar. And so you try to receive that, you try to get that from candies or chocolates or whatever that goes to sugar inside of the body. Like everything that you eat, you know, everything sugar doesn't go to sugar. So, but then you begin to crave that, and that's actually a withdrawal symptom also. And you may discount that if you don't understand that process, that there's a chemical procedure that happens when you eat and when you drink. And when the thing is not there, your body says, oh, well, whatever it is you're giving me, I just want more of that. And so let me have it by any means necessary. So anyway, back to tolerance. Tolerance is that you use more of that, which is the next category, which is the next question. Do you find yourself having to have more of it at a time? That's using more than you mean to. That's a third criteria. You go out. And I always, I say, well, if you start doing math, whatever it is that you're doing, that is what it is. That is tolerance. That is using more than you mean to. You go out, start hanging with this guy that drinks way too much, and you're trying to drink either to impress him or be a part of the group that drinks like that or whatever. But there's a logical and a conscious reason why you do that, and that's using more than you meant to. You didn't mean to, but when I'm talking to people, it was like, no, I meant to smoke 5 blunts a day. Oh, okay. So that you your intention was already there. And so I guess that doesn't count, but kind of it does. Because then if you use it more than you mean to, are you going all out your way to find it? Are you, the amount of time that you're spending to go get it, that's number four. The amount of time, so the question is, where do you go to go get it? Are you spending time on it? Do you think about it, you know, when you're home? The time spent seeking, using, and recovering is the number four. The number five is that mere thought of thinking of it, and I'm doing them out of order, but the mere thought of thinking of it is almost a craving. It's like 4:30 on Thursday from March into October. I always say that there are people that work in uptown that do drink. About 4:30, they work to 5, but live after 5 starts at 5. So if you start thinking, whew, I need to be wrapping it up because I need to go do this and this and this, and I need to go ahead and get on out there because so-and-so is going to be out there. Technically, that's a craving, and that's your number 5. The number 6 is, let's just say that you go out there and you don't eat. So the number 6 is you didn't eat, so you're gonna rapidly get intoxicated, which means that you may get sick just for not eating. You're just eating snacks, or you're eating the hors d'oeuvres that might be out there at those events. Well, when you begin to do that, so your number 6 is you'll say, well, gosh, I think I don't need to do that anymore, and you try. Next Thursday, you know, here's Wednesday, and people are talking about it. Ooh, that was a nice time we had out there. You're like, I really acted crazy, so I'm not going back out there with y'all. And so you say that, and then the following Wednesday, you know, things are going well. He had a pretty good week. You know what? I think I'm going to go out there. So you just didn't make it. So you know, trying to stop but can't, or trying to cut down but can't, cut down on hanging out. You know, I think I'm just going to do something else, but something else never comes, or you become so bored. So the number 6 is, you know, if you go through any of those changes, then that's what happens. So then you got 7 and 8, and I put those together, 7 and 8, not managing to do what you should as far as your responsibilities go, and then the number 8 is just giving up totally. And people say, well, what do you mean? What I mean is when you're not managing, you start to rearrange your responsibilities, or if you allow your responsibilities to someone else to be taking care of those things, then that's not managing it. And if you say, well, I feel like I'm managing it, okay, you are saying that, but let's ask someone else. Let's see what they say about it all. And then totally giving it up. Some people, I bring this up, and they'll say, well, you know what? We gave up our licenses. And I'm like, you are exactly right. You did give up your license. And so technically that counts as one of them. There's another one that says continuing to use despite knowing that you have a physical or psychological problem. Continuing to use despite knowing that you have a physical, despite having a physical or psychological problem that is worsened or exacerbated, made worse by the thing that you're doing. If you already have diabetes and you're drinking, no good. Have high blood pressure and use cocaine, that's no good. Because what is it doing? When those things, when you begin to withdraw from them, it's going to affect you medically. So that is the number 9. There are 2 more, and I need some help. Those are, so if you all give it just a second, I'm going to find what that is. Because I am cheating. What I'm doing, and I know we only have a few more seconds. Let's see. Number 1, been unable, skipped, continued, found the situation, spent a lot of time, want to drink, can't think of something else. I can't think of the other 2. That's unfortunate. But if you get to number 9, which is where we are, if you get to that one, and you feel that you've identified at least 2 or 3 of these things that I've named, then what that means is you have mild substance use disorder, which I liken to going to the doctor and saying you have a common cold, and them telling you to go home and drink some orange juice, get some vitamin C in you, and get some rest because you've done way too much. and probably take some acetaminophen or something like that to bring down the fever. And in a few days, you're going to be better. Got mild substance use disorder. That'll work. You need to be educated. Don't drink too much again, okay? Don't follow, you know, follow the laws and don't get into trouble. Let's see, when you, if you have four or five of those that I've mentioned, of the nine, if you meet four or five of those, you have moderate substance use disorder. And if you meet four or five of those, you're going to need a little more time, because it's not just you're drinking too much and not realizing what your tolerance is. It's not just you putting yourself in some detrimental situations. It is actually, it has become a habit. It is something that you're doing. It is, you are defending it in some way. You are physically being affected by it. You have begun to have issues surrounding it. So you probably will need a little more time to get real honest and to say what it is that's going on, and to address that in group with others, to say it out loud that you are finding yourself in wrong situations. And so you'll probably need a little more time for his diagnosis. If you go to a doctor at this point, the doctor is going to probably recommend some form of a specialist in treatment. It'll be the same thing, but the specialist is the counselor, someone like myself, that's going to say you're going to probably need to look at that a little further. And then if you meet six of the nine, I couldn't think of the other two, but they are actually much worse. And I can post this on TrinityCounselingCharlotte.com for you to be able to see what that is. But if you meet six or more of those that I have listed of the nine and just realize that there are two more, then you're going to need a little more time, at least 3 months in a program, at least looking at maybe family, dealing with trauma or dealing with abuse or dealing with past experiences or things that are environmental, or removing yourself from the situation, not so much as a geographical change, but actually doing some things different. During alcohol screening day, if you answer these questions just as if we were reading them, if you answer yes, 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 or no, 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 then that gives you a clear indication of you might need to go delve into it a little bit further, and then be explained that this is the type of help you need, whether it be mental health or financial or whatever. At least you give you an opportunity, and that's basically what counseling is. You take a, I don't know if it's objective or subjective, but someone other than your family, someone other than your family, someone other than your friends, someone other than the individuals that have been co-signing whatever it is that you have been doing, but someone, an outsider that can say, you know what, look, this is, we're really not attached in some type of relationship way, but these are some things that you might want to look at, because this is the situations that you're going through. We have a few more seconds left. Again, my name is Melissa Enoch-DeBerry, licensed clinical addiction specialist. The show is sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, 1801 North Tryon Street, Suite 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206, phone number 704-333-2446, and Trinity Counseling Services, Burlington, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 27215-336-675-0075. Melissa, TrinityCounseling@gmail.com is my email, and you are welcome to call, and I'll take 15 minutes to ask you questions and answer those, and then tell you if you believe that you need to find more help, or someone else in your family needs some assistance, and we can go from there. I appreciate you for listening this morning. And dear Heavenly Father, just thank you. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity both to become clear-minded, both to gain the education that you need to be realized the value and just to be enlightened today. And God, just as we go forward, continue to let our light shine. In Jesus' name we pray. Y'all have a blessed day. We'll talk with you on next Thursday. Thanks.